Page Reish Rav, starting from the three dots. I'm not convinced on the percent that's what we're holding, but definitely we definitely did not do past those three dots. So, covered Reish is in was mitzvah yachad heim nachlas atamachoch. So he's been talking about over here this point over here of Simcha. And the covered Reish of mitzvah b'ois is greater than the divas libay and mitzvah b'ois. Malus nadiv. How do you express the divas? Where do you see the expression of the divas slave? Is the Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So the Kavod Reish is the Mitzvah voice. I mean, Chazal said that taking it, understand that you it's an achrayus, puts a whole level of a different level of chashivas to it. So where you're showing your nediva slave that you're happy to do it. That's the simcha. That's the element of simcha. He says this inyan is batsim. A defining element of the Talmud Chacham has the wherewithal to be able to mekayim these two things. Only spell element of kavod reish. We know that only spell element of atzus, element of atzus, kiyum, element of simcha shel mitzvah. And the Sirben Harvit Sinus ba simcha. Adam Hemishtalvis Yachad Amoit Adam Lethen Hashem. It's not a Ritzinus seriousness. People think that you can't be happy and be serious. So that's a toast. The Arab, that a person who's Arba Lifnei Hashem, he lives in awareness he's Arba Lifnei Hashem. So it's obviously a very serious reality. He's taking life very seriously. But it also confers an element of purpose and significance to everything that he's doing. And that generates simcha. Zeu inyan v'gilo b'rado shem v'lokim gilo shem teira ado. Okay, so caution, you think like it's like, you know, take away, diminish your simcha. My wife just reminded me that the Rishi Rav Isaac once was on Purim and the Bachurim were getting a shtickle like Lebedik. So Rishi Rav Isaac used to call us attention. He was a very edible person. He used to take like this. He can't call attention. That's what, well, about how loud it was. Oz, you know this. Oz. And you're like, this man lives in the world.
Is that true? He never laughed.
He was always But Rashi Rav Isaac on Purim, especially, if you want to know what it means, a shining face was Rashi Rav Isaac on Purim. He had a glow. He mamash had a glow on his face. He's walking, he's just like, he's just like so happy. But it was serious. Right? It was like a. It doesn't mean pain. It doesn't mean physical pain or emotional pain. It doesn't mean have a daiga about bitter things. So what is it? Okay. The ratat yirosa shalav al benay katan ovloi. Shosh work about seifoi who reikin imoy v'seifal lefano. This is what shalayim. Okay. So this is a quote from Romelio Kaplan in Sefer Ikros HaYira. So Romelio Kaplan was, many considered him the greatest Talmud of the Alter from Alter from the Balkan. And the Alter sent him to help Rachel Weinberg in Berlin. So this little Tushigid ended up, but he was a goy nadir, Talmud Chacham Mufli. But also, he was an extremely sensitive soul. He wrote poetry and something like that. So we have a safe, we have a few stories from him in that area, like different makshavas. He says, a father puts a child on his shoulders and he's dancing with his child. So he's tremendously happy. At the same time, there's always that element of being careful. You shouldn't drop your child. You shouldn't hurt your child anyway. He says, that's Gila Barata.
The Gila is limited with the Ra'adah. There the Ra'adah is limiting the Gil. Here he's saying that more that it's the same Makar for both.
Well, I'll respond to what you're saying. In the Moshul, the Simcha is the simple dancing with your child.
Right.
So when I dance with my child, that generates two emotions. I'm dancing with my child. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. Dancing with my child, I have to be careful.
Right.
But the core for both emotions is the same spot. But you're enjoying, you're pushing in a state of ecstasy that you're dancing with your child. You're playing with your child. But together with that, there's this pleasant yira. You're not sitting there for daigin. You're not scared. But it's serious. There's an element of taking it serious. So that's a gemal of a simcha to have such an opportunity. So now he has a kanech. I think I would tell you that the Rosh Hashanah talks about something called Yiras Chet. I think I would use the mushel of a relationship with a husband and a wife. Yiras Chet is that if you understand that Chet acts as a barrier between a person and his creator. So Sushram says that Yiras Chet is a person who says, I don't want that barrier. So I'm constantly aware of the care and not do anything which will prevent my avo. So the root of my yira is my deep feelings of avo that I have are so intense that I will not want to do anything which would damage the relationship. That's the Mr. Jonah says Yiras Chet. So you picture that, in a relationship with a bona fide, deep relationship with a husband and wife, there's a gavaldiga avah, there's a gavaldiga simcha, and there's also always a care that it should never be done in such a way which will diminish and damage that beautiful relationship. There's always going to be a element, and the biggest raya is if a person one time tackle, let's go, you usually end up saying something you shouldn't have said.
Right. But even though the kavod raya in tefillah is more of an ema from the power of Hashem and the gvura of Hashem, isn't it? It's not really an ema to.
Well, he's saying that we have an omni spell of the glasses, element of simcha shemitzah, and you have an omni spell of the kavod raya. Kavod raya means taking it serious.
Right, that's how he's learning it.
He said kavod raya doesn't mean it's not talking about ema. It's talking about kavod raya.
Right. Even though you could learn it as machlikas. I think the guy learns machlikas. I mean, the Gemara says machlikas. I think the guy changes the gears to make it a machlikas between those two shitas. I may be wrong. He's not learning that way, right?
No.
You could say there's another element of Yira where a person has pachat from Hashem's greatness.
That's true, but he's saying,
that's not what he's talking about.
But, we developed that idea, a different place. He's saying, what he's saying is the unique ability to have Kavod Reish and Simcha is rooted in the Talmud Chacham, in the sense that Talmud Chacham is able to truly appreciate what he has. So he understands. Leave the Talmud Chacham for a second, right? A person who will take two examples of a husband, right? One person got married, doesn't know anything better. He had a very nice marriage, etc. Right? So he takes it seriously. Imagine a person was married, he had a horrible marriage, they got divorced, whatever, and he remarries, and he gets a wonderful wife. So he appreciates his wife much more.
Right.
So he understands the value of what he has. So he has a godly feeling of simcha, a godly feeling of ritzinus, of he appreciates it, so he can be extremely careful not to do anything which is going to diminish it. So the understanding of the value of what you have is that's the only way you're going to generate these two emotions simultaneously. So that's enough with Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham is able, his awareness of understanding of Torah mitzvahs gives him an insight to understand the value, what it means. It gives him to understand what it means, and that's going to generate these two emotions. Either from a simple, either from a yira. In a yira, lama of a simple, in a simple lama of a yira. Omer Reva, Kishtei, Omer Lispalo, Yelipcha, Lefo, Sameach, Shatei, Oved, Lelukim, Shein, Kriyotzi. Okay. So, the yira is the awareness of my limitations. This is a Kodesh Baruch. So, the more yira I have, that means the more I'm aware of the limitations. That means I'm more aware of the value of what I'm, the schus that I'm having, the daven, the Kodesh Baruch. So, the Ilo Shem B'Yira, the Zotim Medrash, is going to generate a leap called Echa Samech, that's why everyone came to Shem Kriyat Zifah. The Yura is Echa to be the one who's going to serve in the Hechel HaMelech. Right, the person has a tremendous simcha that he's the person there standing in the Hechel HaMelech, with the awe of the Melech.
Okay, so this is a different. Thing than he just described before. So first, he's describing. He just had a gil or other yira v'simcha. First, he's describing gil or other that together with the gil of his chelik, a person has the other not to damage it. Now he's describing together with the yira of Hashem, a person has a simcha that he's serving Hashem.
Yeah.
So it's really that.
I'm not sure if it's two different points, or he sees that
they're almost
the other.
Oh, they're almost working in the opposite directions, though. That from the gil comes the ra'ada, and from the yira comes the simcha.
The answer is, I think, like the Rambam says, it's a gadol chayzer.
Right. No, what I'm saying is, it's almost. Is he saying that it's been, or it's been mikra two separate ideas? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think what one flows into the other. It's a cycle.
It's not magic. Right?
So
you're saying it's magic.
The marshal of the Eved, he's coming to. The Eved is there, they were standing in the Hechel HaMelech. So he walks into the Melech and he sees the awesome presence of the king.
Right?
So he's aware of the presence of the king. There's at the same time, there's awareness of the schus to be there.
Right.
So the schus to be there is only enhanced by the awareness of the presence of the king. But when he feels that, when he feels that schus, right, it's always going to be together with the awareness of the awesomeness of the king. So the two are always going together. That's going to say, and wow, I'm zeichet to be here. That is so special. I'm going to take it very seriously. Which is the point he said before.
The simcha is coming through the era.
The simcha is coming through the era. Right. That's what he's saying. That's the point he's saying. That in the unthought out mind, these two things are steered at each other. Right. I told you that I once had a conversation with the Bala Boss. He told me, I mentioned the Rebbe Chodan was known that he never laughed because he was a kind of sheesh on the neck. He saw me. So the person said, "Oh, he must have been a depressed person." I said, "I don't think so. As far as I know, he's supposed to be a happy person."
He was scary.
Can't be.
He was very scary.
You can be very scared and still be happy, you know? Right? So, you said it can't be. It can't be that you never laugh and that you're happy.
I
don't see the theory. So that's the conversation ended right there. I don't think it was getting too the temperature was getting too high, so it wasn't looking at the end of the conversation anyway.
I don't know.
most people under the chuppah,
you're comparing it to water,
will not be laughing their kishkas
at. Water boils. Then the water goes back. It's chazer lechatzos, right?
But he's happy to the nth degree.
I don't think Tyson tells you that that's
awesome. Right? But the happiness is all fed from the awareness of what it means, the awesome schools to get married. Right? The awesome, you know, the beautiful thing that he has, that he's about to enter into, makes it very serious, also makes him very happy. Like, right? So if
it's to be Nene. You can't be Nene for what?
And if he gets into the state of laughter, he is, it's because at that moment he stopped being aware of how kosher it is, how special it is. Every time he uses the muscle, every time he talks about, you know, in the modern version of the mashal of the person wins some, you know, raffle, he's given an hour to spend in Tiffany's vault. Take whatever he wants.
Right.
The guy's happy out of his mind. He's very serious. He's very seriously, like, you know, focusing and copying as much as he can. Oh, he looks so focused. He must be sad. He must be depressed. No. I don't think so. I mean, I never really met anybody who did that, but, like, my theory would tell me that he's probably not depressed or sad. He's pretty serious. But he's pretty happy. I think part of the problem is, you know, that happiness is... I had an interesting conversation over Yom Tov. I got an email from somebody with the tagline was, how would you answer this? Okay. So he was in a situation which took place over Chol HaMoed in the office, whatever. And
I don't know.
He doesn't say how he dealt with it. He presents the situation and he says, how would you have dealt with it? So what's the situation? I don't remember exact details, but kids, they came in. No, it was right after Yom Tov. Come into the office. So in the office, there's him, who's like the yarmulke wearing through me. There's one other guy who's Shomer Shabbos, who doesn't wear yarmulke. There's all these other. He's low man on totem pole. I mean, he's, you know, executive, but he's low man on totem pole. So some board meeting, they come in. So one of the upper echelons says, you know, welcome back for your vacation, you know. Says, so the other fellow says, yeah, the days of rejoicing are over. A little bit of cynicism, like, you know, it's a burden, you know, type of thing. But that's what he said. So one of the secular people there in the room says, you know, he knows they're both Orthodox Jews, you know. Says, I was not aware there's anything about happiness in the Old Testament.
That's what
the guy says.
Hey,
again, this is a lawyer, a fried, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
the is about it.
The fellow says to me, he says, I had 1 minute, or less than a minute, to respond. How would you have answered?
I would have said, well, sorry to inform you, but there's around 20 psukim and 20 verses in the Old Testament all describe about serving God with happiness.
You know, I understood from his question that he wasn't in the mood of lecturing a fellow about where verse Deuteronomy 28, verse 51, that wasn't
going to work. God created the whole world for our love, and of course we should be happy. Don't do that.
So this is what he said. So I got it. I threw it out to my shop friend by the Suda to see what everybody would say. So I never answered. So okay, so what would you say? I said, in United States America believes that there's certain truths which are self-evident. The person that has the right to the pursuit of happiness. Right? It's not self-evident because it's not true. You cannot pursue happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of a person who feels that there's purpose to his life, he's accomplished. The message of the Old Testament is that life has purpose.
No, I know.
And
no,
you have the ability to accomplish. So it doesn't talk about happiness because happiness is a byproduct.
I hear that.
That would be my answer.
That's a very deep answer.
You know, I'll give you your unlock on that. That's not the message of Voltaire, because it isn't. You know, that message of Voltaire is, like he says, the message over here is that when you stop and you appreciate what you have, you feel good. But the main message of the Torah is, what do you have? Hashem created the world for you. Yes, you have responsibilities. It's serious. That doesn't mean you're not happy. Our society created a whole new definition of happiness. It's something you could pursue. It doesn't really exist. It's this thing which keeps the Torah, which keeps moving as you run towards it. And you're right. That the Torah does not talk. So that's the point he's saying. That, you know, there's simcha. Simcha is the measure of the appreciation of the tremendous responsibility and opportunity that you're given. Right? And that makes you happy. Because you understand you have the ability to do it, you believe in your ability, you understand that it has a value, you understand that it has purpose, you understand the world has purpose, Hashem, and you understand that you are interacting with the very Olam who wants you to do this, and you're doing it, so how can you not happy? That's the answer I would have given. Okay.